I want to thank Ken for the invite. It is a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here because, you know, we know the work that God's doing here and people can see it. And so can the enemies of God. And, you know, keep Pastor Ken and Alison and his family in your prayers. You know, you don't realize how much they need it. And, you know, keep them in your prayers and keep this church in your prayers and pray that God blesses it. If you have a Bible, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 27 and we're reading from the verse 16. Verse 16. And they had them a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom would ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that they had, with envy they had delivered him. And when he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all unto him said, let him be crucified. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, a blessing upon your word. Lord, we pray that you anoint it. Lord, we pray that you'll multiply it and extend it. And Lord, that your kingdom and that you will be glorified. You're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the honor. We glorify your name. And we thank you, Lord, for being our God. There's nobody like you. Praise your name. Amen. The interesting thing about this portion of scripture is in verse 16, it says, then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. If you go down to verse 17, you'll see where Pilate then addresses, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? The interesting thing that you will see here is how Pilate had to differentiate between the two prisoners. And there's a reason for that. Barabbas was not his first name. Because you remember when they introduced Peter as Peter Bar-Jonai, that meant Peter, son of Jonah. The interesting here thing with Barabbas here is they have introduced him as son of, but no first name. And the interesting fact with that is translators didn't want to put his first name in. Some ancient manuscripts have it. And the reason they didn't want to put Barabbas' first name in was, does anybody know what his first name was? Jesus. His first name was actually Jesus Barabbas. It's the same as the book of Jude. Jude, the brother of Jesus. He was actually Judas. But translators didn't want to give Jesus' brother the name Judas because of the association. And that's why you'll see the book of Jude. It should actually be the book of Judas. And that's nobody's fault. That was the fear of association, especially during translations. But what we see here is two Jesus, two men with the name Jesus. There's the Jesus, the Son of God. It's interesting that Barabbas' name was the Son of the Father. Because Christ Jesus was the Son of the Father. It's interesting that the two of them not only had similarities with their names, but it was the depth and the strength of their names. And here's what we see a picture unfolding. There's Jesus, the Christ, that Pilate speaks of, the Messiah, the one who has come to deliver. And then there's the Barabbas, the one that the crowd wants, the one that suits their needs, the one that suits their agenda. the one that suits their hopes. The sad thing is, in today's society, people have started to draw their own Jesus. They've started to make their own Jesus. The one that allows them to do whatever they want. The one who allows them to sin freely without sin and conscience. The one who allows them to pass evil laws. And then when you challenge them, they'll say, well, what would Jesus do? With the greatest respect, you actually should be thankful that Christ isn't here, because he'd go and get a whip. We're not allowed to do that today. And here's the fact that we see before us. I know people would say about a week earlier, there was a crowd that was shouting, Hosanna. The interesting thing about that crowd the week before, they also had an agenda, because when they were shouting Hosanna, it wasn't Hosanna in praise. It was actually Hosanna in a political persuasion. Come save us now. They weren't saying save us from our sins. They were saying save us from the Romans. They had a political agenda. You see, the truth is always in the depth of how you look under the covers. There's people will say things to you. There's people will say things about you. There's people will say things to your face and then say an hour behind your back. But the interesting thing, a week earlier, a crowd were shouting, Hosanna, that's promote him, that's make him ruler. But their only intention was deliverance from the Roman oppression. You see, they had their own type of Jesus that they were looking. I actually know people would say it was the same crowd that was in Pilate's judgment hall. I actually don't think it was. I think this was a different crowd. This was a rant-a-mob. This was late at night. This was a crowd that was chosen for an agenda. I'm going to tell you something right now. In our land and in our nation, there's people who have got into places. They have been promoted into places. They do not represent any of us. They don't even represent the people around us. And we ask ourselves the question, how have they got in there? Do you know how? They have an evil agenda. And they have been promoted and brought in through evil moves, untoward moves. I was speaking on this today in my own church. I was saying, folks, the thing is, Paul said this, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You see the people coming around knocking the door and all, and looking at your votes and all. Shout at them all you want. But there's bigger fish to fry in the background. They're the ones, do you know, don't you be worried about what you can see. Be more worried about what you can't see. And there's men and there's women behind the scene. I've said this before in here and I'm going to say it again. Everybody talks about there's a left-wing politics and there's a right-wing politics. But it takes the same bird to flap both wings. You see, there's power and there's money in division. You can put up all the blue and yellow flags you want for the Ukraine. You can put up all the peace flags you want for Israel. You can put them all up. But let me tell you, behind every one of them wars, there's one in the middle driving it all. Because they're making money out of it. There's power in that. And these people have got into high places. But you know, the lovely thing about it is, if you read the book of Joshua, and Claire, I'm going to see if you were listening to me earlier. Where was it we quoted in Joshua? Was it Joshua 23 and 8? She's saying that it wasn't. It was Joshua. It was Joshua 23 and 28. And the Lord said, Joshua, don't worry about them. You're going to stand against the world. That is literally what the Lord said to Joshua. You, as my man, will have to stand against the world. But here's what the Lord said. Fear not, for I am with you. Amen. And that's what makes the difference. When God is for you, who can be against you? And the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, you can look at the world around you. And the Lord said, I've driven out these nations. You have to keep them out. I've went against these people. You're to take your stand. But he says, Joshua, one can stand against 1,000. Do you know why the Lord told him that? If you go on throughout scripture, here's what it says. One will stand against 1,000. Two will stand against 10,000. The Lord was reminding Joshua. See, when it comes to the numbers game, have it all under control. See, no matter how many you think's against you, the Lord God is still in control. He's on the throne today. And here's the thing. There's a world that is going to a lost eternity, and I mean that. You know, I see people, and it really offends me. Because see, when they want to make their Bible prophecies and their Bible interpretations work, they'll just make up figures. These same people don't believe half the church is going to glory, but yet and all, to make their prophecy a work, they'll tell you that the world's near saved for God. And here's the irony about that. What has happened to the church is we have allowed a Jesus to come in that is not Jesus of the Father. We have allowed Barabbas to sneak into the pulpits. We have allowed Barabbas to sneak in to the oversights. We have allowed Barabbas to sneak into the pews. And what you must remember is the Lord says, where you've got sheep, and here's the thing, see when I talk about sheep, do you know what everybody goes on? Oh, the wolves. You forgot about one. It's not the sheep. It's not the wolves that the sheep need to worry about. It's the goats. See, goats baa like sheep. They eat like sheep. They smell like sheep. I've got two goats this week. Dolly and Lulabelle, two. I love goats, by the way. I'm preaching against goats, but I love them. And I have two Anglo-Nubians at home, and they're my wee pets, and I love them. But I'll tell you what goats will do. They'll break your heart. And for years in abattoirs, they couldn't get the sheep to run up the lines. Sheep follow sheep. And they couldn't get the sheep to walk to their death, so to speak. And you don't want to work sheep, you don't want to work animals up before you slaughter them, or else they don't bleed out properly. And do you know how they learned to get the sheep in the abattoirs to walk the line? They'd put a goat in. And the goat would walk up the line and the sheep would follow the goat. And just before it would come to where it had, the goats can do something that the sheep can't. They can jump out. And the goat would jump out at the end and the sheep would walk to their death. And there's goats leading good sheep astray. And they've come into the church because these goats are following the Barabbases. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And the thing about it is, goats don't hear the Father's voice. The sheep do. And the interesting thing is, I guarantee you, and you can come and tell me if I'm wrong, I guarantee you, if there hasn't been one today, there will be one very soon. Start to gripe in your ear. Start to complain. Start to bring in division. Start to bring in contempt. Not happy with this. Not happy with that. Don't like what's happening here. Don't like what's happening there. Can I tell you something? Leave the work of God to the shepherds that God has called, and leave it with the Lord. Do you know what I've seen ruin more churches? Is the experts sitting. I've seen it. I was sitting there the night, and you were singing the old hymns of Whitewell. I want to tell you something. I wish I'd never experienced those days. I mean that. I actually got to experience something that you could almost call heaven on earth. Used to drive in on a Sunday night and thousands of people, buses, the crowds. We got a taste of glory. I'll make no apology for what I'm about to say. Goats came in. Started to complain. Started to gripe. And you know what the goats done? There's a verse in the Bible that says, smite the shepherd and you scatter the sheep. and they start to smite the shepherd of God. They'll stand before the Lord for that, and they'll be judged severely. And I remember one of the greatest critics, I was in America at the time, and he got in touch with me. He says, "Leave the anointed of God alone." Do you know what he turned around? He says, "Who is the anointed?" You know what I told him? "You're not. You're not. Because of the way you're getting on." And do you know what? The sad reality is, we will give ear to those. Don't do it. Because here's the reality. Do you see, if you read this portion of scripture, it says this in verse 18. "For Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him." He knew their heart. He knew the truth. Did it stop him? And you know what's the sad thing? See, when people's in your ear, you can still know the truth. But you know what you'll do? You'll just sit there for a quiet life and you'll let it go. I'm going to tell you to do something. Protect your hearts. See, when people come to bring in contempt, tell them to get lost. And if they're offended, thank God, because you don't want them near you again. You don't. I mean that. I'm saying that with the greatest respect. You don't want them people around you. What was it the bishop used to say? Give him the left boot of friendship. The difference is he did. But you need to protect your heart. Do you know, when I first, and I know I'm quoting Whitewell, it's just the other night with the singing and all. See, when I first come into Whitewell, I loved it. It was like, this is amazing. Do you know what started to ruin Whitewell for me? I started to let people get in. I started to hear the gripes. I started to hear that. And I remember I used to think to myself, that can't be true. Do you know what I wish I'd done? I wish somebody had preached this sermon years ago and I could have heard the fact that I have nothing to do with them. Because see, them same people, they're still running around. They've been to 20 different churches and they're still making the same complaints. And here's the sad reality. Pilate knew the truth. He says, for he knew that for envy. They had an agenda. They had a motive. "Oh, Pastor Ken didn't look at me this morning." See, when I was coming out of the car park, they didn't wave at me. Come on. But that's the truth. That's the reality. And what we need to do is, if Pastor Ken didn't look at you this morning, what you need to do is pray harder, because there must be something on his mind. There must be something on his heart. Hello. I was about to say, he definitely isn't perfect. All right. Well, you started.
I have to go up after you.
And I'm not here for a pity parlor for Ken Davison. That's what I'm here for. I hope there's people listening to me that goes to different churches. I'm here for the servants of God. I'm here for to see the kingdom of God built up. I'm here to see churches built up for the glory of God. And here's why. When, verse 19, he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent on to him saying. Do you know what's the interesting thing about this? See, if you read 1 Kings chapter 11. Twice the Lord appeared to Solomon to tell him to behave himself. Do you know why Solomon wouldn't listen to them? Listen to the Lord. Because if you read on down, it says, because he clave to the women. He was obsessed with them. Here's the thing. Do you know why the Lord didn't come to Pilate in the dream? It wouldn't have affected him. But see, when his wife came to him, it was different. And that shows me that the Lord knows how to reach you. And maybe the Lord's reaching you through somebody in here. Maybe the Lord's reaching you through the workplace. Maybe the Lord's reaching you through a friendship. And maybe you're going, Lord, would you speak to me? The Lord's probably speaking to you through somebody else and you don't even realize it. And the Lord knew for him to really reach Pilate was to go through his wife. Don't disregard those that God sends to you. So when I'm telling you to get rid of people who's dividing you and get rid of people who's bringing you down, most certainly get a hold of those who's bringing God into your life. Those who bring sound counsel. Those who bring good advice. Those who encourage you. Those who build you up. Then listen to this. Verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Do you see, in closing tonight, there's an agenda in our nation to destroy Jesus. If you read Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 4, Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 4 tells you one of the things in the end days is this, that knowledge will increase. Never ever in history has there been a generation where knowledge has been as accessible. You can go on to Google, you can type in anything and get an answer. You can get an answer to the most stupid questions that you could never have gotten an answer to before ever in your life. It's at the touch of a key. And while that sounds fantastic, and while that sounds like progression, this is the key to the greatest depravity in history. Because with that same internet and with that same access comes destruction. And one of the things that we see today is a mob agenda. And you will see this. If you take a stand for righteousness on social media, you can be sure before the end of that day that 100 people will jump on you in a mob effect. It's a regime effect. It's an aggressive effect. And that is what happened here. Notice who it was. The chief priests, the elders, persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. It wasn't enough that they were asking for Barabbas to be released. A murderer. A thief. Matter of fact, many believe that Barabbas, Jesus took the place with the other two that were the thieves on the cross. That they were a trio. And if you actually look in the Greek New Testament for these men, I can't say this without laughing because it's very like Northern Ireland politics. If you look in the Greek for the thieves on the cross, they were there for racketeering. And the irony is, Barabbas was being released, probably to enter into politics and now lead our land, like someone who just broke out of jail is over our law system. And actually that did happen in Northern Ireland. And this is what we're seeing, is that they were picking a murderer, a racketeer, a thug, over Jesus Christ, the sinless perfection, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God in flesh come to earth, and they chose a murdering thief. It's hard to understand that, and it's hard to comprehend it. But can I tell you something? See, today, those very same things are happening in our land where laws are being passed and evil's being promoted. I was speaking about this earlier on the day. Only several weeks ago, the law was tested in Northern Ireland. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. The law was tested. If you ever hear that they test the law, that is the first step to the end. They tested the law several weeks ago to stop Christian education being solely taught in Christian schools. And what happened was they got too carried away and tried to pass it under radical law. It was thrown out on that basis. That tells me very soon the law in Northern Ireland will change forever on the basis that children cannot be taught Christian education anymore in the schools due to it being radical Christianity, as they claimed it. That is the first step to absolutely removing Christ from our nation. He's already removed out of the pulpits in many places. He's already been removed out of government. But never forget what the Lord said. Suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I believe the most dangerous thing is to interfere with the minds of them wee ones. I believe that's what will usher in the kingdom of God. And it's very close. This land that was once a land on fire for Jesus is now one of the worst laws when it comes to children in the mother's womb. It is now liberal to any cause and any agenda. And do you know what's the frustrating part of it? See, the ones passing these laws, they will tell you they're Christians. See, the ones allowing these laws to come, they will tell you in church on a Sunday, I love the Lord. But on a Monday, they're protecting their big fat pensions. You know, old Booth in the Salvation Army, stand up for Jesus. He soldiers off the cross. Do you know, I always heard the story of old Booth. And he was parading the streets and a wee girl was in front of him. And a man spat on the wee girl. And the wee girl started to cry and she was all trying to wipe it off. And old Booth shouted at her, leave it there. He says, that's a medal for Jesus. Take your stand. See, in this crowd got carried away against Jesus. What if a crowd started to get carried away for Jesus in this land? What if we started to get carried away for Jesus? What could we do? Take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a rampant mob for Jesus. Be someone that's proud to be a child of God. Be someone that's proud to take her stand for the glory of King Jesus. Because do you know, the sad thing is, I was walking up and I was, the boys joked at me, they says, are you preparing your sermon? I actually didn't realise I was. I was putting in my wee bookmarks. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's addressing the young Timothy. See, if you want to serve the Lord, these are known as the pastoral epistles. This is the teaching for the young pastor. Paul loved Timothy. And in teaching him, he teaches him this. In verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he says, this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Do you see that in the Greek New Testament for perilous? It's a word, calamus. And here's what it literally means. Something that will really disturb you. Do you know what's the disappointing? And I'm challenging myself about this. We don't get disturbed anymore because we've become so comfortable with it. It doesn't disturb us anymore. Because we've allowed the Barabbas to come in. And we've allowed the Barabbas, the Jesus that fits our lifestyles, fits our laws. We've allowed that to sneak into our land. We've allowed it even sneak into our own homes. And to be honest, I would say, if I'm going to challenge you and be straight with you, very little disturbs Christians anymore because we've become comfortable with it. We've become afraid to stand up. I'm not telling you to go and be a troublemaker, and I'm not telling you to be that keyboard warrior that goes and takes everybody on. Here's what I'm saying to you. Don't be that Christian that allows those things to come into your life. Don't allow them into your home. Don't allow them to become comfortable and part of the furniture. Because here's what Paul then goes on to say. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, we could take this a couple of ways. But I'm telling you now, men are no longer men. Men are no longer men. Fellas, stop getting your eyebrows done and go on getting it. Behave yourselves. Man up. Be a man. I'm hearing things that men are doing nowadays, and I'm disturbed by that. They're covetous. They're boasters. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something. See, anything I have, I work hard for it. And I love to see other people doing well. See the amount of people I have come around me, covetous, bonkers. And it's everywhere. People have become covetous. It's even come into the church. There's a man, I'll tell you, people once liked them. See, now because the church is doing well, they don't like them. They're covetous. They'd rather find fault. Blasphemers. Are you comfortable with people taking the Lord's name in vain in front of you? Are they comfortable taking the Lord's name in vain in front of you? There's the question. Unthankful, unholy, false accusers, fierce despisers, truce breakers, without natural affection, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. Now here's the scary part. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Christians, I'm going to close and I'm going to hit it in a nutshell. We condemn governments and we condemn politicians. We condemn everybody. I tell you who needs condemned. Apostate Protestant clergy. Amen. Who deny the grace of God through faith alone. Amen. And the immaculate work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's only by the blood of Jesus are you saved and redeemed for all of eternity. And any church teaching contrary to that is blasphemy. And it's from the pit of hell. And they have put a Barabbas before you that will damn your soul to hell with them. Because, child of God, I promise you as I stand here, not upon what I know or what I think, but upon the word of God. And it says salvation is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. No man can come to the Father but by me. Who's that? Jesus the Christ that Pilate rejected. Jesus the Christ that was nailed to the cross. Because the Barabbas that the people chose will go to hell with them and every other Christ rejecter. And here's the lovely thing about Jesus, whom the Son sets free. They are free indeed. You see, nobody is like Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You see, you can have your Barabbas. And you can have your moment. And you can live for the moment. That's what they're all telling you to do today. Live for the moment. You don't know what comes tomorrow. I'm telling you what's coming tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same tomorrow. And he's the one that will take you and look after you. Whatever's coming against you, bring Christ to it. Because the beautiful thing about the Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ as Pilate called him, the Messiah, the Son of God. Do you know what's the tragedy? Barabbas even had the name. Jesus, the Son of the Father. It sounded so right. It sounded almost scriptural, didn't it? But that's where it ended. There's men, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Let me tell you what Paul tells you. Oh, lovely, you've got it up. From such, what do you do? Say it with me. From such,
turn away.
Turn away. Say it again. From such,
turn
away. See this here? Turn it away from them. Protect your families. Protect them from this. Do you know, they're worried about prosperity doctrine. They're worried about all these. Do you see the people that tell you, don't be over the top. Don't be over the top. They're the same ones that would have been standing in that judgment hall screaming, crucify them, because their true nature would have come forth. It's not what goes into a man that defies him. It's what comes out. The true nature comes forth when they're challenged by God. I've seen some of the nicest people you've ever seen in your life, and you start to challenge them about the things of God, and you can see the steam coming out of them. Let me close with this. Well, I get a wee drink of this free water of Kenneth's. I seen your airplane outside, Kenneth. For £777, sow a seed for your need, Kenneth's holy water. There we go. For 7,770, he'll even come to your house. There you go. And his airplane. Do you notice I just looked down here, Psalm 55 and 6. I said, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away. That's the truth. Kenneth, we're getting airplanes. There you go. Listen to this. Verse 7 of Psalm 55. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, verse 9, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Do you see the tongues of those that are speaking evil? Ask the Lord to divide them. Silence them. That's what the psalmist says. Cut it out. Because here's the beautiful thing. Do you see when you've got Christ on your side? Do you know he's interceding for yous all right now? Do you know when we look at science and we see science and what we see it as, it's hard to believe with all the millions and billions of people on this earth that the Lord even would see us. But the Lord in his absolute majesty, he cannot be weighed by sands. He cannot be held back by it. Cannot be measured by it. He is interceding for you right now. There's some of yous and yous need to hear something. And he's telling, he's interceding for yous. He told Peter that. He says, Peter, I'm praying for you. Do you know why that's so important? There's nobody let him down like Peter. There's nobody was out of Peter was, if you met Peter, he's either going to trouble or coming out of it. And yet and all, do you know what I love? And I'm going to say this to you and leave him. Do you see when Christ was risen from the dead? Do you remember the women come? See, if you read this, I think it's the most, I love it. Because do you know why I love it? It's good for me. He said to the women, he says, go and get the disciples. And if you read it, he says, and get Peter too. Do you know why he done that? Peter had messed up that bad that even the disciples wouldn't have brought him back. Peter had messed up so bad this time that even the church was done with him. And the Lord says, go and get the disciples and send for Peter too. Is there someone here tonight and you're that Peter? You've messed up so bad. And do you know what's the irony about it? I bet you most people don't even know about it. But you know about it. Do you know what's the hardest thing in the church for any believer? Is we're all sitting in these seats. We all look the part. We all sound the part. And when I tell you that Jesus loves you, do you know what you're saying? I know, but I know too much about myself. If only they knew what I know. Do you know what's the thing? I don't know what you know. They don't know what you know. You know what you know. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus still loves you and he knows it all. Do you know how I proved he knows it all? He knows something about you that nobody else will ever know. Does any of you know what it is? I actually said this to you as I'm testing you. I've already tested my wife for, did you listen to me earlier in church? So I proved that didn't work. There's one scientific impossibility that Santas cannot do to this day. Does any of you know what it is? You cannot count the hairs on a living person. You know that? There's only one way to count your hairs. Now, they'll not have too long with me. They pluck them out. That's the only way to count your hairs, pluck them out. But there's one who knows every single hair on your head. Do you know why he said that? He wants you to know something. He knows everything about you and he still loves you. He knows everything about you and he still died for you. He knows everything about you and he's still coming for you. What a Jesus. What a God. So see here tonight, maybe you know more about yourself than you want to. And maybe it disappoints you. And maybe it hurts you. Here's what I want to tell you. Don't let it pull you down. Don't let it hold you back. Come to the one who promises, I will stick closer than a brother. I'm the one that with all your faults, with all that you have done, I still love you. Do you know, I'll say this before I go. I always be worried, especially within Christianity and the church today, that there's people have gone so far in their state and they know they're not right with God, but you've got trapped in the Barabbas of church, where for you to come out would not only be a shock to you, but everybody around you. Do you know, I'm going to warn you about that. I remember years ago, I was sitting on a mission with Willie McRae. My mum and dad, and by the way, I don't think I am anyway, I hated church. I used to lie on Sunday mornings holding my breath, hoping we'd all sleep in, that I didn't have to go to church. And honestly, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't write that book. I hated church as a child. My mum and dad made me go. And do you know what? It's for any parent, keep going. But I remember in a mission, and Willie McRae preached. And I remember there was a woman responded to the appeal. Everybody thought she'd been saved for 30 years. I will never forget the shock of that. As only a wee nipper. I say, I can't believe. It was like the biggest shock in the world. Do you know what? A woman's going on for glory today. But the sad thing is, there's people sitting in the church and they've never come out and give their life to Jesus. And they fell into the Barabbas of just going through the motions. I'm not going to do an appeal. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I don't need to do that. You don't need to do the walk of shame. Do you know what I would encourage you to do? Reject the Barabbas of the judgment hall. And accept the Jesus, the Son of God. That's all you have to do. Satan will tell you, no, it's too late. It says, no, come to him tonight. Unsaved person, there's nobody like Jesus. He's the one, the lover of your soul, the keeper of your soul. May God bless you. May God encourage you. Amen. Yeah.